Now, I want you to look at verse number 27. He said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Heavenly Father, bless these thoughts, I pray tonight. Help me in Jesus' name. And amen. I've often said that the Philippian church and the Thessalonian church were two very special groups to the Apostle Paul. When you read his letters to those churches, you find some very special terms of endearment that Paul uses to those people. Now, I know that they're the words sent from God, but I think God sent them through Paul, knowing they expressed Paul's heart for the people. Both of the churches were very supportive of Paul and his ministry. Now, Paul was not married. You know that. So he was very able to say in verse number 21, for to me to live is Christ. And I think it's important in there, for to me to live is Christ. Paul's whole life, his energy, his attention, his focus, his time, his effort could be devoted to the service of Jesus Christ because he was single. He didn't have a wife to take care of. He didn't have a family that he was responsible for. That's why he wrote to the Corinthian church. And he told those saved, single young men that, God is letting him speak freely. He said, in my opinion, you'd do far better to stay unmarried. He said, I would have you without carefulness. Without carefulness? What's that mean, without carefulness? What he's talking about is, I would have you without the care of a wife and family. For what reason? Because if you don't have a wife and a family, man, you can devote everything to Christ. But he says, if you take a wife, you're responsible for the well-being of that wife. You're responsible for the well-being of those children. You're not a man because you can bring a child into the world. You're a man when you can bring a child up in the world and rear them up right. And so that's what Paul was saying. So he could say here, for to me to live is Christ. And when you get married, you know, some of your time and your energy and your attention and your focus will have to be devoted to taking care of your wife and your family. Personally, I think Paul missed out on the most wonderful of human relationships. I really do. Husband and wife. Now, he'd never knew the difference. But I'll tell you what, man, I wouldn't want to be single, especially after I've been married and had a good woman for a wife. Now, look at what he said in verse number 23. He said, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Well, the truth of the matter is, I can't say that. I don't have a desire to depart and be with Christ. I've got a desire to take care of my wife. I've got a desire to take care of my family. I've got a desire to see, you know, the two that are not married yet, grow up and get married, hopefully, and get settled in and, you know, have grandchildren. And that's what I got a desire. Not that I don't want to go to heaven. But Paul didn't have a family. Paul didn't have a wife. He didn't have any children. And he said, you know, for me personally, he said, I'd like to just die and go on to heaven. Be a wonderful thing. And then what he said in verse number 24 there, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He said, Paul felt like the churches needed him in spite of what his desire was to go on to heaven. And then in verse number 27, he gives them a great challenge. He is writing a letter to them. He's not with them bodily, okay? That's why he says, whether I come to see you or else be absent. He said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Then drop down to the end. That you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, I think what Paul was saying there to these people was, man, I really need you. I really need you. I'm on the outer edges of this thing, the known world. I'm trying to take the gospel to places where it hasn't been taken. And I really need you back home to strive together for the faith of the gospel. That word striving comes from the root word strive. It means to make efforts, to endeavor with earnestness, to labor hard. But the word strive also means to contend. It means to contest, to struggle in opposition to another. So striving can have both a positive and a negative meaning. Now, people striving in opposition to one another, contending with one another, especially in a church setting, is not helpful to the church. And it's not helpful to the missionary who's out on the far edge. It's not helpful to that guy. It's not helpful to him and his family, not at all. And that's not what Paul is asking for here. And it is sad. It's sad when churches experience strife, when there's fighting and bickering and arguing, and there's no sweet spirit. And I've said it many times. The first ones to determine the spirit of a church is the visitor when he walks in the back door. He can either feel a warm spirit, or he can be met by a blast of cold air. depending on what's going on with the people of that church and their attitude and their spirit toward each other. And so Paul's not talking about that when he says strive together. He's not talking about contending with one another and being contentious and struggling in opposition. No, no, no. He's talking about striving together for the positive impact. Make an effort and endeavor with earnestness. Labor hard together. What for? For the faith of the gospel. For the faith of the gospel. Now, what does Paul mean by the faith of the gospel? Listen carefully while I read to you from Romans 15, verse 20 and 21. Now, don't miss this. He says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand. So when Paul is saying here, strive together for the faith of the gospel, I believe he is referring to the great need that every church has of taking the gospel to the world. The faith of the gospel is soul salvation. The faith of the gospel is attempting to reach every creature with the saving message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so Paul exhorted the church to strive together for that particular purpose. Strive together. Make an effort together, endeavor together with earnestness, labor hard to strive together for the faith of the gospel. Now listen carefully. One of the most difficult and yet one of the most powerful concepts to get people to buy into is teamwork. Teamwork. Professional sports is a perfect example of this. In professional sports, most of the professional sports, you have a pay scale that is determined by individual statistics. And it really is. In other words, you take the baseball season that just ended with the St. Louis Cardinals. And I know that makes a lot of you folks happy out there. Amen. Winning the world championship. All right. So the higher, now watch this. The higher your batting average is, the more runs you drive in. The higher your on-base percentage is, the more innings you pitch, the lower your ERA, the better your strikeout-to-walks ratio. All of that factors into how you get paid. Those are individual statistics. But wait a minute. In order to be a champion, in order to take home the trophy, that has to be individual statistics have to be set aside, and the concept of doing what is best for the team takes over. Now look, you can be one of the top paid players in the game, but if you never win a championship, your career is incomplete. There have been a lot of great players that have made millions and millions of dollars in professional sports who would tell you that their career, even though they may have made as much as $75 to $100 million in their playing career, but they would be the first to tell you that they feel their career is incomplete because they never won a championship. Never won a championship. You know what it takes to win a championship? It takes a team. It takes teamwork. And I got to see a little bit of this baseball World Series. I didn't get to watch anything Friday night because Hannah and Leah and the boys were down, and that was better than having a baseball game on. It was even better than going hunting. I didn't go hunting. I went and played with the boys. It was a blessing. But anyway, I did watch a little bit of it, and I was just it excited me to see those teams working together, to see guys sacrificing, a plate appearance, getting themselves out so they can move the runners to second and third. So they can be in a position to score a single. That's what it takes, friend. If you're all about I, when it comes to, you might have some individual statistics that bring you a big paycheck, but when you retire and you're done playing, your career is incomplete when you don't have a trophy. When you don't have a trophy. Now listen, nothing drives home to my heart the power of teamwork in a church like visiting one of our families on the foreign field. And now that I've been to Bahamas to see the Lowe's, I have seen all of our families. The only place I have not been to is where Gina is with Dave in Belarus. But I saw Dave and Gina on the mission field in Russia with some of their Ukraine with some of their teenagers. I had the privilege to be with Clint Reardon's. You remember that? In Mexico City to visit Clint and Rhonda. I had the privilege of seeing the Harrisons in Argentina when they were in Buenos Aires. I had the privilege of being there with them. I had the privilege of being with Don and Ruth Osworthy in Russia and Oriel. I had the privilege of being with seeing Gina and Dave over in Ukraine when they had the young people. I had the privilege to go where Ben and Ashley are and be in their services on Sunday and see their place. And now I've had the privilege of going to the Bahamas to see Jason and Heather. And I always come away from the mission field with a renewed respect for the need of teamwork. Teamwork. Now, to be honest, all of those families were influenced by people away from here as well. You know, all of them were. But in some way, God used Faith Baptist Church to be an influence in Clint's life and in Gina's life and in Don's life and Ruth's life and Ben's life and Jason's life and Heather's life and Keith's life and Judy's life, especially some of the spouses, not so much some of the other spouses. But Faith Baptist Church has directly touched those people. And as a result, Faith Baptist Church has directly touched Argentina and Belarus and the Bahamas and Mexico and Madagascar and Russia. Now, wait a minute. Not just with prayer and not just with financial support, but with one of us. With one of us. Faith Baptist Church has impacted or touched that part of the world with somebody that used to sit in these pews, in some cases go to these schoolrooms and get their diplomas here, and God has used this church to touch those people who in turn have touched the mission field. And to me, friend, this is what Paul is talking about when he exhorts this church to strive together for the faith of the gospel. You understand, Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais, we can impact the world. And we need to impact the world. But if we do, it'll take teamwork, laboring together, endeavoring together. One of the questions I get asked by the people that I just mentioned. I just mentioned the missionaries that this church has directly touched their life. One of the questions I get asked often by them. Listen, are you listening? How's the church doing? How's the church doing? That's what Paul's saying here. Hey, Philippi, I need you. I need you. How's the church doing? Especially Osworthy's, Angels, and Lowe's. Especially those three. Now, Clint Ronder are sent out of, I think, Fairhaven, and Dave and Gina sent out of, I think, the church down in Missouri. And so they got but especially the Osworthy's, and Ben and Ashley, and Jason and Heather. How's the church doing? In a very real sense, church, we are their base. They are tethered to us. We are their anchor. Now, I'm not saying that if we go down, they won't stay engaged in their ministry, but I will tell you what, it would definitely hurt. And they would feel a great loss. Because there's great security in their hearts and in their minds to know that back home in Bourbonnais, the folks back there are still striving together for the faith of the gospel. We have left home. We have left. And by the way, you say, well, Bahamas is not very far away. Believe me, friend, when we landed in Miami, I was glad to be back in the United States. Oh, yes. Now, I asked Brother Jason one day, we were outside like Tuesday afternoon before the service, evening service out in the afternoon playing with the boys a little bit. And I said, Jason, did you get lonesome? He said, yes, sir. It touched my heart. He said, preacher, he said, some days I'm outside and I look up and I see a plane taking off. I think to myself, I wish I was on that plane. I wish I was going home. That's normal. That's natural. They're out there on the cutting edge, if you will. They've left their culture. They've left their relationships, their families. And thank God for the modern means of communication compared to the old days of missions. What they enjoy today is remarkable, friend. When you can see your grandkids on a computer screen 10,000 miles away, we're doing all right, I'm telling you. That's pretty good. But they're still a long, long ways from home. And even though Jason and Heather aren't that far away, they still are very secure in knowing that the old mother church, Faith Baptist Church, is still striving together for the faith of the gospel. I visit these folks and I come home with a burning desire to see us, those of us right here in Bourbonnais, more united, more unified, more devoted for the faith of the gospel. For the faith of the gospel. Now, It is important to notice the opening phrase of verse number 27. Look at what he says here. He says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And then you have a colon. You know, you really shouldn't ignore the punctuation marks in the Bible. All right? You have a colon. A colon means take note of what follows. Well, what follows is standing fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now listen. We know we should support missionaries, and our missionaries especially, with finances. We know we should support our missionaries with prayer. We know we should support our missionaries with communication. And by the way, Heather appreciates all of you ladies who stay in touch with her. She really appreciates that. She stays in touch with many of you by way of Facebook. I'm just going to say, by way of Facebook, you know what? You know, I'm not a computer person. And Facebook to me is, rah. But if you're on it for that purpose, God bless you for that purpose. If you're on it for gossip, God help you. But if you're on it for that purpose, God bless you. Because I'll tell you what, it means everything in the world. That's how they keep up. But listen, we should support them in money. We should support them in prayers. We should support them in communication. But listen, this dawned on me the other day. Here's something completely different. This is not money. This is not fight. This is not prayers. This is not communication. He says, only let your conversation. You know what that word means? It doesn't mean talk, does it? It means manner of life. It means your behavior. How you live. Only let your behavior, only let your manner of life, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. What's Paul saying there? He's saying that your behavior, my behavior, our behavior, the church's behavior, on a daily basis, on an individual basis, should complement the gospel of Christ. It should be becoming to the gospel of Christ. It should fit the gospel of Christ. I think you understand the use of the word becoming or becometh. You know, a person with a title, a king or a queen, can behave in such a way that is not becoming to their position. You know, all of this fuss about Herman Cain's campaign man smoking cigarettes. Our president smokes cigarettes. And I'm not for smoking cigarettes, but it's not very becoming to a man who wears the title of president. You know, going out and getting drunk is not very becoming to a woman who wears the title of a queen. Right? You look at that and you think, good grief, you're a queen. You don't get drunk. Good grief, man, you're a king. You have a title. You don't get drunk. You don't live this way. It's not becoming to your title. It's not becoming to your position. And so Paul's saying here, look, he said, Philippian church, he said, your behavior, your manner of life, your lifestyle, what you do should be becoming to the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it's all a part of striving together for the faith of the gospel. Hey, folks, if we give money and pray and stay in communication with the Lowe's and the Oswardies and the Belaruses and live like the devil, we're not doing them any favors. We let our own Christianity go to pot. I don't care how much money we give. It's another way of supporting our missionaries. For you and me to stay right. For you and me to live right. For me and you to have a life that is becoming to a child of God. Okay? You see, God's people live in adultery. That's not becoming as a Christian. It's not becoming to the Christian name to live in adultery. God's people live greedily. That's not becoming to the Christian name. God's people involved in rock music. That's not becoming to the Christian name. Living a life that includes lying and being jealous and being full of rebellion. Not only do these things not complement the gospel of Christ, but the whole team effort is harmed. You understand what I'm saying? The whole team effort is hurt. We need to be in one spirit and one mind about our goal to impact the world. And if we are, we'll be careful about our behavior. If I am really serious about the fact that, man, I hope that, you know, we've sent somebody to Bahamas and we've sent somebody to Oriole, Russia, and we've sent somebody to Madagascar, and we've touched the lives of these other people in Mexico and Belarus and other places. You know, and boy, I hope they stay out there, and I hope they make it, and I hope they have a good church, and I hope that we can see things like this over and over and over again. Do you really want that, folks? If you really want that, then you'll watch how you live. You'll keep in mind that your life, my life, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, plays a great part in striving together for the faith of the gospel. God's not going to bless an unholy church. God's not going to give His power to an unholy church. God's not going to put His favor on an unholy people. This is exactly what Paul is saying, man. I'm out here. I'm out on the cutting edge. I'm far away. And I need your money, yes. And I need your prayers, yes. And I need your communication, yes. But I need you back at home, Philippians, whether I am present or whether I'm absent. I need you to live for God. I need you to have a good testimony. I need you to have a good influence. I need you to strive together for the faith of the gospel that we as a team might impact the world for Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. If I really am striving together for the faith of the gospel, I'll think twice before I go out and get drunk. If I'm striving together for the faith of the gospel, I'll think twice before I put on a rock and roll iPod. I put music on my iPod that's anti-God, anti-everything, that's right and decent. If I'm really striving together for the faith of the gospel, I mean as a part of the team, I'll think twice before I live dishonestly and steal. God help. The fact that, you know what, folks, you shouldn't leave your purse laying around and you shouldn't leave your car unlocked. And outside is a different story than inside. But God help when a lady leaves her church in a purse for a week that she can't come back and find it with the money in it. That's ridiculous. Had a girl leave her purse here for a week, came back and the money's gone. And it never left the school building. It was stuck in the school building. I say shame. Shame. Shame, shame, shame. I want to tell you something. You're not only dishonoring God, but you're hurting the whole team effort of striving together for the faith of the gospel. You see, this thing is bigger than just my life. It's bigger than just me. Christianity is far bigger than just me and my wife and my four or five, six kids and our married kids. And it's about the world. It's about impacting the world for Christ. It's about you and me here in Bourbonnais in this church doing what we can, striving together. I don't need to say that. I'm interested in what goes on in other places. I have friends pastoring good churches, and I'm excited to hear when they're being blessed. But really, the truth matters, I don't have time to worry about if a pastor's doing something right or wrong or good or bad. There's enough to take care of right here. We got a big enough job right here. We got a big enough responsibility right here just to keep our noses clean, to keep our hearts right, to work together for the cause of impacting the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll think twice before I go out and buy some kind of narcotic or drug if I'm striving together for the gospel of Christ. I'll think twice before I drop some unverified statement harming somebody's reputation on the phone or on the internet. I'll tell you something else. I'll think twice before I just suppose that somebody is guilty before they're proven innocent. I think the American way is that you're innocent until you're proven guilty. I'll think twice about that. I'll think twice about my life. How is your life, Terry Angel? How's your life? You're a part of Faith Baptist Church, man. You're a member there. It's a family. It's a group of believers. Been brought together, not just for a club. Because we got to work together to touch the world. And we're beginning to do that and seeing it happen. And if we just send money and pray and communicate, hey, hope y'all are okay, and we don't live for God, we're going to lose God's favor, lose His blessing, lose His touch. Those people will be harmed in harm's way. It was George W. Truett, pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, had a grandson that was playing in his office one day. And Brother Truett was trying to get some work done. The little boy was just a little boy. He was distracting because he's a little boy. That's what boys are. It was fun to be around the low boys. They're boys. They scrap and tussle and they're boys. It was a blessing. And so he's got to get some work done. So he's, what am I going to do with this little guy? And he remembered that in his cabinet he had a puzzle of the world. And so he thought, I had to keep him busy trying to put the world together. And so he got the puzzle box out and he said, here. And he put the puzzle on the floor and he told his grandson, why don't you put that puzzle together? Puzzle of the world. And the little boy said, oh, okay. He dumped the pieces out. And George Truett sat down behind his desk. Thought, that'll take him for a while. Keep him busy for a while. It's a matter of minutes. The little boy said, I'm done, Grandpa. He's shocked. Done. And he looked down there, and on the back side of the puzzle, it was a two-sided puzzle. George Truett either forgot that or didn't know it. On the back side of the puzzle was the face of a man. And the boy had put the face of the man together. So there was eyes and eyebrows, and instead of trying to put the whole world together, he just put the face of one man together. Now listen, there's a pretty good lesson in that. You know how we can impact the world? Let's just take care of our Christianity. Now we can fix the world. Terry Haynes needs to make sure that his life is right, that his heart is clean, that his motives are right, that he's living right and living clean before God. You know how you need to impact the world as a member of Faith Baptist Church? Keep your nose clean. You don't need to play the lottery. You don't need to run to the casino. You don't need that junk. Keep your nose clean. Be a good Christian. Live as it becomes the gospel of Christ. And if I'll do that, and you'll do that, and every person in this row will do that, and go through this auditorium front to back over here, if each one of us will just do our part to get ourselves right and be right and serve God and have a right and clean and honest and holy life, you know what, friend? We'll see God do more through this church before Jesus comes. I believe that with all my heart. I believe with all my heart. So if I need to make sure my behavior is becoming to the gospel of Christ, I need to be sure that I don't do anything to take away from the team mind and spirit of reaching the world. And if I do, if I'll take care of me, you take care of you. And I don't mean being selfish by that, but I'm going to tell you, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to thyself. And then he told him, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, he wasn't talking about soul salvation because you can't save yourself. He was talking about salvaging his ministry, his life, his influence, his testimony. Timothy, you're a pastor of a church, but you can't let your Christianity go by the wayside. You got to draw a circle in the morning and step in that circle and say, God, fix the man in this circle. That's the best thing I can do for my wife. That's the best thing I can do for my kids. That's the best thing I can do for my grandkids. It's the best thing I can do for you as a church. Keep my heart clean. This is talking about life, folks. This is talking about living. Living so as it becomes the gospel of Christ. Andrew Fuller was a contemporary of William Carey, a fellow laborer in getting the gospel. You know the story of William Carey, that young preacher, shoe cobbler, who kept the map of the world there where he cobbled his shoes and so burdened that the lost might be saved. And I don't remember the exact quotes of the story and the details, but he talked about how are we going to get the gospel to the lost at a pastor's meeting. And one of the older pastors said, sit down, young man. When God is ready to reach the world, he'll do it without your help and mine. But Carey didn't let that deter him. And he went on to be a great missionary. And Andrew Fuller was kind of like his mission board. Andrew Fuller kind of was like the one who kept care of his books and his money and his sport and everything. And Carey was back in London. They were having a pastor's meeting. Now, Fuller said this. Listen carefully. He said, we saw there was a gold mine in India, but it seemed almost as deep as the center of the earth. And by the way, when he was talking about a gold mine, he wasn't talking about hard gold. He was talking about people, souls. A question was asked, who will venture to explore it? And William Carey stood and said to those pastors, now you listen to this, he said, I will go down, but remember that you must hold the ropes. You must hold the ropes. And church, when we think of holding the ropes, we think of support financially, and that's part of it. We think of prayer support, and that's part of it. We think of communication, and that's part of it. But I'm going to add another one tonight. Our conversation, our life, our walk, our talk needs to be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. It's a part of striving together. You know what Don and Ruth Oswardia need over in Oriole tonight? Do they need money? I'm sure they do. Do they need prayer? Yes, they do. But you know what they need? They need the home base to be right and holy and clean so it can be touched and blessed of God. So that when they say, Pastor, how's the church doing? How's the church doing? That question was asked last week in the 5 days with Jason and Heather. How's the church doing? Sometimes Ben will ask, Dad, how's the church doing? How's the church doing? That's what they got to know. They need to know that back home, there's still a good group of sold out, dedicated believers who are living holy and loving God and letting their life please God so that God can touch our assembly and bless our assembly, because they've gone down and we're holding the ropes. One of the best ways to hold the rope is to live a clean life. Strive. You got to see, it's not just about you. Next time you're trying to make a decision on should I or shouldn't I, maybe you ought to think about an apartment building on the third or fourth floor over in Oriole, Russia, where a couple lives by themselves with all their kids in the States now. Trying to win cold-hearted, godless Russians to Christ. Maybe that'll stop you from going out and running to the casino. Before you get ready to watch some movie that has no business being played on the video player or DVD player of a Christian's home, because it's filled with cursing and swearing and filth, before you watch it, maybe you think to yourself, you know what? There's a family down there in Bahamas, and even though they're not far away, once in a while they get real lonesome. And I think for their sake, I'm just going to turn this off. Oh, yeah. That's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, church, whether I'm with you or whether I'm absent, let your conversation be as becomes the gospel of Christ, striving together to impact the world for Christ. Let's pray, church. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to go visit that couple and be reminded once again of how necessary it is for us right here at home to live right and keep our noses clean and behave and be a good Christian. So, Lord, challenge our hearts tonight. I pray, God, that we won't be selfish and live for us, but that we'll live a life that is becoming to the gospel of Christ, striving together to impact the world with the faith of the gospel. Bless those folks that have sat in these pews and been in these classrooms who now are miles and miles away. Bless them, I pray, and help us, Lord, to do our part to support them financially, prayerfully, communication, but, Lord, also with our behavior, our manner of life. Clean us up, O God. Clean us up, I pray.